Part 2 of Matthew chapter 5. I've named this morning, Lessons for Persecution.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Well, this morning, we're going to get into God's Word, and we're going to feast on His Word today and get full. Amen, Jane? We're going to get full. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This morning, the message, though not necessarily intended to be a Memorial Day message, I think it does fall along in that, that we're going to find out that today you and I are part of the body of Christ. We are the army of the Lord. And today's message is again a continuation of part 2 of Matthew chapter 5. And we're going through Matthew chapter 5 and part 2, and I've named this morning, Lessons for Persecution. Now, those that have served in other countries, those that have served in warfare, definitely have been under persecution, definitely have been under issues where they needed to stand strong and they needed to be the warrior that they were called to be. And this message actually goes along with that, that you and I are called to be the army of Christ, and Jesus is giving us instruction here. Matthew chapter 5, and I do want to continue. I want to start in verse 10. Though we did talk about this last week, as far as being blessed by God, I want to come back on these last couple verses here and continue on. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men will revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice, Jesus said, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, for I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, bless your word here this morning as it goes forward, and bless your servant, Lord, that I would bring it forth accurately according as your heart desires this morning. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen. Again, I've subtitled this, Lessons for Persecution. Now, God has been working on us as a church on how we are to be. And I think in this particular passage that we have just read, we are given lessons that God wants us to know. He was speaking directly to his disciples at that time because they were the ones that were going to start the church of Jesus Christ. And there would be persecutions that would come along. However, this word is also for us today, because as we are seeing a world walk away from the things of God, one of the things that we will begin to experience more and more as the church is persecution. How many of you have recognized over the past few years that government has been trying to snuff out the church? Now, we saw a few years back where government was calling upon especially those in Texas pastors to turn in all of their sermon notes prior to them preaching them to the government so that the government of Texas could go through there and make sure that there wasn't anything that was inappropriate for the government. Well, the pastors rebelled against that, and praise God for that. The pastors rebelled and said, "We will not do that. We will preach the Word of God. We will preach the Word of God regardless. If you want to come and lock us up and put us in jail because we refuse that, what you have asked, go ahead." And you see, now some people say, yeah, but the scriptures tell us that we are supposed to obey all the rules in government. No, when it comes to the things of God, if it is against the things of God, we do not have to obey those rules, folks. If it goes against the Word of God. And the pastor stood up and said, no, we will not do that. Now I tell you today that what is happening as darkness comes upon us as a world and as a country because we walked away from God, persecution will begin to take place. Even within the body of Christ in today's world, 2023. Persecution, as I mentioned earlier, is happening in India right now for those that are believers in Jesus. Persecution is happening in China for those that are believers in Jesus Christ. All over the world it is happening, and we have been spared by it because of our lifting up Jesus and our worship of Jesus. But as this United States begins to walk away from that, persecution will become more and more for those that are truly believers in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that as something that will take place. And we are not so special. You know, Christians here in America have been basically had this thought, well, we will never go through that. We're above that. We will never experience that. But I'm telling you, we must get ready for this persecution. And we must stand for our faith. I'm not talking about persecution in the matter of someone says, oh, are you one of those Christians, and then just laughs in your face. I'm not talking about that kind of persecution. I'm talking about persecution that will come to expect Jesus saying to his believers, I believe in Jesus Christ no matter what the cost. So here, Jesus is starting out here, and he's telling them to listen, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you get to this persecution. Now, does that even make sense to our flesh man? That when persecution will come, that we will rejoice in it and be exceedingly glad about it. And the reason why? Why are we told to be exceedingly glad about it? Because great is your reward in heaven, Miss Joyce. Great is your reward in heaven, Patty. Great is your reward, Jane. Great is your reward. So we should be so thankful when we get to carry the cross of Jesus Christ and carry this message. And when persecution comes, that we will be exceedingly glad. First of all, he talks about this in verse 12. When you look at this, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. For so persecuted they the prophets which went before you. Do you think that we are where we're at with the church right now without any persecution that took place? There are people that came before us that gave their lives for their faith in Jesus Christ. The prophets of old that Jesus spoke about gave their lives for their love of God. And as we go down through the ages, those that stood for the church gave their lives for the church of Jesus Christ. Just like Memorial Day and those that gave their lives for our country, there are those that gave their lives for us to be here today where we are at as the church of Jesus Christ. And they were persecuted. Now what is it? What does that mean to be persecuted? Jesus said, blessed are you when you are reviled. That word reviled there means to be defamed and to be taunted. Okay? Defamed and taunted. Some of us don't like it when people say things about us. And we get all offended about it. Somebody says something and taunts you. What do you want to do? Your flesh man wants to jump up and smack him right in the face, right?
Yeah.
And defaming, basically tearing you down vocally. Tearing what you believe down vocally amongst others, and others horrifically laughing about it, that you were torn down. Now that goes against everything within us, but Jesus said what? Greatly rejoice in that. Because great is your reward in heaven. Because this life is just temporary here, folks. And those that realize that, realize that the real goal and the real reward is eternity and what we will receive in eternity, not here. And he wants us to wrap our hearts and our minds around that. To be persecuted, that word actually means to be pursued after. That the enemy of your soul will continue to pursue after you, and he does it through other human beings. To pursue after you with this defaming, with this taunting, and it may also have to do with, of course, physical damage to us. And when we're spoken evil against, we are to rejoice in that. Rejoice! Rejoice when you are persecuted. Now, how many of you have ever had people laugh at you for your faith? One, two, three. As things progress, that will happen more and more. And the Lord is giving us instruction here. He's giving us lessons through this to say, do not look at that as if some strange thing has happened to you. Because it's happened way before our times. And it will happen again, and we ought to rejoice and be so glad. Why? And this is why we're getting this, because we have a reward in heaven. This life is temporary. Jesus is concerned about our eternity. I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Hold your hand in there because we're going to come back there again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to come upon you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Now, American Christians look at this verse and we just skim over it. Because we've never had to experience much persecution, Maybe somebody laughed at you one time because you were a Christian. Or because you believed in something that was in the Bible. But we don't understand what real persecution is like they did here. And Peter says, don't think it a strange thing, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory will be revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. What is the Lord trying to tell us here? He's trying to tell us, be happy about it. If someone is making fun of your faith in Christ, be happy about it. If you have to suffer some kind of pursuing from evil folks, Paula, be happy and rejoice, because that means that you are living for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the enemy of our souls knows who you are? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and operating with the power of God working in your life, you better believe He knows who you are. If you are a prayer warrior, you are an intercessor prayer warrior, you better believe He knows who you are. And we have proof of that by the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, where they tried to cast out demons. And the demon looked at them and said, look, we know Paul and we know all the other apostles, but we do not know you. You have no authority. But if you do, there will be an enemy and an enemy's camp that will be posted against you to stop you from doing the work of God. But I love what Jesus said. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And against the moving of my church and of the body of Christ and of us individually, we may suffer persecution. See, the whole idea is the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, is that the church is supposed to be pushing forward, not waiting for Satan to push against us. There's persecution that will happen, and we should be so glad that it does. And I'm telling you this, don't think it a strange thing when it begins to happen. And if we live long enough, we will see it. We will see it take place. But don't think it a strange thing, because it's what the Word of God says. Now I want to get into the lessons on this, that we break out of this. Lessons for persecution. Number one lesson here. When we go back to this, all within this context, sometimes we think that Jesus is talking about different things here and separating it. But He was on the subject of being persecuted, and then He brings this whole business in here. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt's lost its savor, what is it good for? And then He says, you're the light of the world. A city can't be on a hill can't be hid. Don't put your candle under a bushel stick. Let it shine. So what we get from this is salt. Okay? Jesus is talking to His disciples that persecution will come. He's talking to us that persecution would come. And what should we be as those that are enduring persecution? We should be salt. And salt, according to Jesus' biblical days when He was saying this, salt was good for a couple things back then. It was good for, number one, preserving. Remember, they didn't have refrigerators back then. They didn't have ice blocks. The way to keep things was to preserve it with salt. If it was meat, you would preserve it with salt. The other thing that salt, of course, was used for, and as still is today, was enhancing the flavor of something. So today, what does that say for us? We are supposed to be the ones that are preserving. Preserving. Now, as we see the world going down, we are to be the salt of the earth, the ones that are preserving to bring others into the kingdom of God to, number one, preserve the church. Number two, preserve those that would be otherwise bound for hell. We are to be that salt. We are to be that one that is doing that. The second reference, of course, is enhancing. We should be a flavor in this earth, Miss Joyce. We should be the ones that, though we're being persecuted, would still be the ones that would stand out and say, while we are being persecuted, we still have the joy of the Lord coming out of us. How many of us have the joy of the Lord coming out of us when you're being persecuted? When somebody is saying such nasty things and defaming you? Do you have the joy of the Lord coming out of you? Or are we saying, I'll get you? This is really, really important stuff. This is a lesson that we need to understand what the Lord is telling us here, because we are invaluable to the Lord in this ministry here on this earth. We are the ones that He uses on this earth. Remember, Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to help you to do this work. We are the ones that are called to be salt on this earth. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing this, he uses the same exact word that Jesus used. He said this, let your speech always be what? Seasoned with salt. Preserving and enhancing. Let me ask you this. Is your speech enhancing others around you? Or is it tearing them down? Same word here that's used. We are supposed to be light as well. We, the persecuted church, are the light in a dark world around us. Don't hide your light, folks. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of us get so timid when we're around others that are not believers and say, well, you know, they may not understand if I pray. They may not understand if I bring out something about my faith in Jesus. Listen, we are called to be light in this earth. We are called, yes, there are times when we are to keep our mouths shut, and we need to know when we are to speak and when we're not to speak. That all comes down to a word fitly spoken is like pictures of apples. Of gold, how is it, Sister Joyce? In other words, we're to be that light. We're to speak when we ought to speak, but God expects us to be a light in the world. I know some Christians that never shine their light. Never. Well, I'm afraid somebody might see it and they might know I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian if your light is hid under a bushel? And if you continually keep it under there, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. We should never back down from the Word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, never back down. If somebody says, do you really believe that? Yes, I believe that with everything that is within me. And it's made a change in my life. Would you like to hear about it? I'm not ashamed. 1 Peter 2:9, many of us recall this verse. But you are a chosen generation. a royal priesthood. What is my job according to this? To show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is our job, folks. To show forth the praises. Let our light shine. And that's the reason why, you know, when you go into a place, you ought to let that light shine in every direction. How are you today? You look at somebody and they look all grumpified. That's a new word I just came up with. And they are saying to you, man, what an awful day today is. It's Monday all over again. Things have been going bad all day long. I hope that's not you that's saying that. Because oftentimes, if I have heard somebody saying that, one of the things that I might interject in, has there been anything good that has happened today? And then they might say, well, what are you talking about, something good? And now I begin to say, you know what? Some lady at church a few months ago said, I praise God because I made the wake-up call. And you know what? I thought about that every day. And every day, Lisa says, I'm glad I made the wake-up call. And I say, I'm glad I made the wake-up call. Almost every day, I text Brother Rick and say, you make a wake-up call? Or he could text me, you make the, we call it the WC, wake-up call, right? So start texting that to other people. Did you make the WC? And they're going to say, huh? What is that? And then you have an opportunity to write back and say, God gave me another day to live. You see, the opportunities that are there, even for those that are unsaved people, write them a text. Did you make the WUC? Question mark. It opens up a great opportunity. We are a chosen generation. So lesson number one, don't hide your light. And be salt on this earth. Though we're persecuted, and though we will be persecuted as time goes on, we need to be salt and light. I could preach forever on that one. But I'm going to continue on to lesson number two. And this is that whole section there that Jesus says, don't think that I'm come to destroy the law. And sometimes we might think, wait a minute, is this a whole different thought that he's interjecting here? But I don't think so. Because he's talking about here that he came to fulfill the law. And he's talking about whoever does and teaches these shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. And so when we look at this, Jesus was our example of a suffering servant. How many of you say that Jesus suffered? How many of you say that Jesus was persecuted? Would you say that he was reviled and defamed? Yeah, it happened his entire ministry that he was defamed constantly. But yet, he was our suffering servant. In the midst of this dark world, he came to fulfill God's laws. Every one of them, he came to fulfill them. There was a purpose for him. There was a call for him. And it wasn't to make necessarily a name for himself, but what did he say? He said, those words that I hear, I speak. Those things that God gives me, I give to you. He came to glorify God. So, this whole particular thing that he is saying here is that he came to do and to teach. Not just to teach, but to do the things of God, even in the midst of his suffering. Even in the midst of being reviled, he continued to keep the word of God and to continue to fulfill this word of God. And for you and I, that's the lesson that we want to bring here from this, is that we're called to do the exact same thing. Even in the midst of everything that is going on right now, we're called to do that. And again, I oftentimes speak to young people. And Elena, today you're on my young people here today, all right? And I'm so thankful that she comes and listens to me every week. And I know she's getting something out of that. And I, you know what? I so much appreciate her. And she's hearing the word of God because she's going to bring that to the next generation. She's going to be that one that's bringing that word of God in the midst of tribulation. In the midst of those saying, can't believe you believe that stuff. She knows Jesus, and she knows who He is, and God's going to use you. He's going to use you. I believe it, because I have been praying for you as well. I know your mom has, and I know God is going to do good things. We ought to be praying for our young people, folks, for the things that they will experience. And I guess that's my heart in bringing the Word of God so that that Word of God would go on to the next generation. That it would be taught and go on to the next generation. This is our call. Not to make a name for ourselves during persecution, but to glorify God. I want you to look back in Acts chapter 7. I'll turn over a few books. Hold your finger in there because we'll come back one final verse in Matthew. But I think this just speaks so much here to this particular lesson in glorifying God, even in the midst of persecution. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. You may recall this story. It's a man named Stephen. And Stephen had just gotten through preaching the Word of God. And they were so glad to hear it, weren't they? Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, some people think that they went up and started biting him. That's not what that means. Gnashing on him as they were reviling him. They were defaming him. They were speaking such ungodly things upon him. What would you feel if you were Stephen at that point? You had just delivered what God had given you to deliver. And you're feeling all good about it, right? You know, God gave me some experience with that early in ministry. I went to a church and I was really gung-ho, just got out of out of Bible school and was so excited about bringing the Word. And I did. And the faces looking at me were like they could kill me if looks could kill. And then after, was surrounded by several of the people in the church, and they started gnashing on me and telling me that what I had just said was wrong and that I needed to quit such things if I was going to speak in church. And you know, I look back at that now, I think that was Satan himself was trying to say to me, you better get out of this while things are okay now. He was trying to stop what ministry would go forward and what word would go forward. And it would be so easy to get discouraged. I'm not talking about those that love you and are giving you help and criticism to help you get better. I'm talking about those that are gnashing on you. And, man, I had a choice to make at that point in ministry. Man, I could have said, this is crazy. I'm not doing this again. I'm out. Or continue on. And I praise God for His grace that I continued on. And I guess it was that fight in me that said, wait a minute. What is going on here? What is happening? And as I went back to the Word of God and I saw that what I had brought was the Word of God, I looked at the devil and I said, get thee behind me. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. I'm going to continue on. They gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the lesson that we take out of this. We don't suffer persecution to make a name for ourselves. Jesus didn't. Stephen didn't. We suffer this persecution because we love our Lord Jesus Christ. And at our death, if we die during a persecution against us, we should never have on our hearts, God, go get them for what they're doing to me. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them. And some people say, yeah, but that was Jesus. I can't do that. Stephen did it. He said, Lord Jesus, forgive them. Don't lay this sin upon them. That's the heart of the child of God. Lesson number three comes again in this last verse that I want to share. For I say unto you in verse 20, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, may I remind you again that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he's speaking to us today. Because I believe that it's possible for us to get to a point where it is our own self-righteousness instead of the righteousness of God that is working in us. And over the years, in my time of ministry, I have seen self-righteousness from those that are supposed to be godly people. Listen, our righteousness must exceed that of which the scribes and Pharisees had. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, listen, they knew the Old Testament like the back of their hand. They knew every word that was in it. They had memorized it. But yet, Jesus is saying that righteousness wasn't enough. Because it was about their own works. It was about what they could do. How good they were. How they could memorize. Listen, I'm not against memorizing Scripture. I believe in it with all of my heart. Now, although when I was a young man, I could memorize, and those things that I could memorize then, I can't memorize now. But it's in my heart. But memorizing Scripture is not the righteousness that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about a righteousness that comes from him. See, their righteousness was based upon their own works. And according to Isaiah chapter 64, that righteousness is what Isaiah said was filthy rags. So Charlotte's put the scripture up there for you. You can definitely see it. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know what? If you start bragging before God about how much of his word you've memorized and how you know it and you know this and you know all the Greek words and you know all this and you know what God's going to say? That's a rag. That's a rag. Because remember, Jesus is looking at the heart. What is your righteousness based on? Is it based on what you know and everything you can do? Like the Pharisees, or is it based on your faith in Christ? Philippians chapter 3 is where I want to close out this message. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Apostle Paul writing here, he said, Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The Apostle Paul used to be Saul. We read about him there in Stephen's account. According to his time, he was a great man. He was a Pharisee. Some people don't know that Saul was a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. He was taught by one of the best in Jerusalem. And people respected him. And he walked around with his righteousness. Look at me. But he said, I count all those things as dung. I don't think I have to explain what dung is. All of those things are nothing that I might win Christ and be found in Him, having not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And here it is, guys. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I think the third lesson and the final lesson is never brag about your righteousness. Or, in this particular case, if you are persecuted, never brag about your persecution. Oh, my goodness, you want to know what happened to me. This is what they said about me. And, buddy, I can tell you, I knew what to do right there. And I just stood up against them. And no, that's flesh. That I might know Him. Did Jesus stand up against Pilate and say, you know what, buddy, listen, for 3 years I was reviled upon, and I don't deserve all this. Is that what He said, Sheila? Some people like to brag about everything. But that's pride. So don't brag about even your persecution or how you made it through. Because it's all about Jesus, Wanda. Amen? It's all about Jesus. So Matthew chapter 5, lessons for persecution. May we take this to heart as we see what is happening around us. And if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And really be excited about it and rejoice, because our reward is greater than anything that we could even imagine. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for Your word today. And Lord, again, we remember those that gave their lives for our country. And we thank You so much for that. But this is temporary. We thank You so much for those that gave their lives, and so that we could have the church of Jesus Christ even here today. They gave their lives for You, Lord. And I'll thank You, Lord, and we remember that today. And Lord, as time goes on, as persecution comes our way, we're asking that You would help us to remember the words that You taught us today, and that they would become real in us. Well, thank You for that. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.